This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi. Truth in engineering.
Well, Ron Cyrak is a senior writer at Golf Digest. He has spent a great deal of time covering the LPGA throughout his career. We'll talk a little bit about that. It's a pleasure to welcome Ron Cyrak back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hi, Ron.
Hi, John. Hey, thanks for having me back.
How you doing? How you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
Good.
Feeling great.
Good. All right, Captain Inkster chose Brittany Lang and Paula Creamer. Were you surprised by the Paula Creamer choice?
No, because Julie and Paula sort of have a relationship going way back from the very beginning, from Paula's rookie year when she was 18 years old out there. Julie sort of functioned as a mentor for her, and they're very close. And I also think that she looks at Paula and thinks that there's a lot of competitive toughness here. And even though she hasn't had that many victories in recent years, I think Julie loves the toughness that she brings and the spirit that she brings to the team.
You know, does that say something, Ron, about how we look at this? We don't play at that level. We're not involved in these sort of things. They all are. Does it speak to... You know, people can get psyched up to play in this sort of an event, and it doesn't really matter that Paula's shooting some 80s right now. She's got faith in her to pull it out when it really matters.
Yeah, I think that when you're picking a team like this, among the things that you take into consideration are that it's going to be match play, and you know, that's not 4 days, 72 holes of stroke play. Match play is an entirely different animal. We see it in the Ryder Cup all the time when the European players who can't make the big important putts in the major championships knock them in like they're going out of style in the Ryder Cup. And putting, and Paula has struggled with the putter. Putting's a different creature in match play. Usually it's make or go home on any hole. So you don't really live in fear of that 4-footer coming back. You don't really worry about it. You putt more aggressively, and I think that that's what Julie's looking for from Paula, that she'll go out there and match play will hide some of the weaknesses that she's had in her game in recent years.
Do you think Michelle Wee will be ready to go?
Well, you know, there's probably no sport in which gauging injuries and the physical condition of a player is as difficult as golf, because we don't really have injury reports here, and we really all the time we're not always getting all the information that we need to be able to evaluate that. So the answer is that we're not going to know until we get there. Now, that said, Michelle Wees is another person who's, no matter what the state of her game, seems to rise to the occasion when it comes to Solheim Cup. She loves that. She loves, I remember it was at her first breakthrough event, I think it was the 07 Solheim Cup, when that's the first time that players really got to know her and really got to know that she's a funny, intense young lady. And it's always been a special event for her.
I asked Julie about this in the last segment. Sometimes events such as this, to your point, players rise to the occasion. Would you be surprised at all if Michelle rose to the occasion?
No, I wouldn't, because she's done that in the past in Solheim. And again, like I said, match play hides some weaknesses in players, and if there's a club that that Michelle struggles with, it's the putter. Since she's gone to that tabletop putting stance, she's become a much better lag putter, and because of that she lag putts so well, she doesn't three putt as often as she used to. She still misses more than her fair share of 4, 5, 6 footers in there. But again, in match play, you can putt way more aggressively and make putts there that you don't make normally.
Have you gone to that tabletop putting stroke?
No. You know, I'm from the Nick Faldo school, which is when they once asked him if he was going to go left-hand low or go to a long putter when he was struggling, and he said, "No, if I'm going to miss him, I'm going to look good missing him." So I essentially putt with the same stance that I've been using for about 50 years.
I mentioned your history with the LPGA. You were in the middle of it all with Annika and Lorena. Are you surprised at the talent level we've seen in this next generation of golfer? Did you expect the LPGA to be this good once those two stepped away from the scene?
I think what we're seeing on both the men's tour and the women's tour is the next generation, those players who were inspired by Annika Sorenstam on the women's side and by Tiger Woods on the men's side. And I think we've seen a better quality of athlete, both among men and women, attracted to the game. And Ochoa was a great example. Ochoa could have played, she could have played tennis, she could have played soccer. I've seen her play both of those sports. She's a really, really good athlete. And on both the men's and the women's side, we're getting better athletes playing the game. And I do think that's part of the inspiration of the athleticism that Sorenstam and Woods both brought to golf.
You know, maybe it's just the natural occurrence of things, the circle of life, and it's time for this. But I am sensing, I don't know if you sense the same thing, you're kind of close to Annika. She got a lot of credit for her achievements when she played, but it now seems like there's much more appreciation for what Annika accomplished in her career.
Well, you know, if you look at it, the peak of her career, 2001 through 2006, when she won 46 out of 124 LPGA starts, including 8 major championships, that was right in the wheelhouse of Tiger's career. And a lot of what she accomplished got lost in the shadow of Tiger Woods, and that's just true. And I think as time passes, people are going to look and say, wow, she won 72 times. Wow, she won 10 tournaments, 10 major championships. And people are going to have a greater appreciation. And, you know, we tend to forget, too, there was a stretch in there when 16 out of 20 LPGA majors were won by Sorenstam, Webb, Inkster, and Tsiripak. So, I mean, those are four Hall of Fame players who were going at each other really in the peak of their careers. So the competition at the very top, while the LPGA is a deeper tour right now than it was when Annika burst on the scene or when Annika was at the peak of her game 15 years ago, the top four or five players when Annika was at the top of her game were really, really, really good. And she had to beat some real tough players to get those 10 majors.
Yeah, we are talking with Ron Cyrak, senior writer at Golf Digest. While I've got you, let's cover a couple of other topics. The latest young winner on the PGA Tour, Davis Love III. What the heck is that about?
That's part of what makes golf a great game. You know, there was a delicious irony to all this too, because Tiger Woods' first PGA Tour victory was 1996 in Las Vegas, and he beat Davis Love in a playoff. And then we're going into the Wyndham tournament on Sunday, wondering if Tiger is going to get his first victory in more than a couple years. And it turns out being a 51-year-old guy who stopped him from doing it. It speaks very well for the endurance of technique. And Davis has great, great technique that ages very well.
What'd you make of Tiger's week at the Wyndham?
Oh, boy, I tell you, what I make of it is that he was tentative on Sunday. You know, he played the first 10 holes on Sunday, even par, on a course people were going 3, 4, 5, 6 under par on. And then he gets to the 11th hole. He's a couple of shots back, but he still have a chance to win the tournament. Misses the fairway left on a par 4, then misses the green left on that par 4, and then he goes up, and then those ugly, ugly chipping woes that we saw early in the year resurfaced. He flat-out sculled his third shot across the green. He chunked his fourth shot. Then he chipped his fifth one 12 feet past the hole, makes triple bogey, and it's game over. That was shocking and stunning to see. And again, it proves that one of the hard things about winning a golf tournament, and why winning golf tournaments is one of the most difficult challenges in all of sports, is you can't let down for one hole over 4 days. And that's where stroke play kills you. You know, that one bad hole, you got to stay focused, stay engaged for four consecutive days, 72 holes, and Tiger couldn't do that.
Did you think this was progress?
In a way, it was, but in the larger sense, I would personally say no. In fact, I would even say it was a step back. He ends up birdieing four of the last six holes to get a backdoor top 10 in a tournament that he could have won. And I think what happened on number 11 was a startling admission that the confidence is still not there. He doesn't have that believability.
Think there's any way Captain Haas chooses him for the President's Cup?
You know, again, you look at it, and he is Tiger Woods, you know. So he is Tiger Woods. It's like, you know, I don't want to make this comparison, but I will. It's like putting Willie Mays on the All-Star baseball team when he was 41 or 42 years old and probably wasn't one of the 25 or 30 best players in baseball, but deserved to be on the All-Star team because he was Willie Mays. I would think that there are a lot of reasons why you want to put Tiger on the team, and all you got to do is look at the TV ratings on Sunday from the Wyndham and look at the attendance on Sunday at the Wyndham to know what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I was going to say, if nothing else, we were reminded of his place in the game. And
he's going to be the most compelling player in the game until he tells us he doesn't want to play the game anymore. That's just true, because he's one of the greatest ever to play the game, and his demise is as fascinating as his rise. It's just, I think he's one of the most compelling stories, not just in golf, but in all of sports.
You know, we've been around him a long time, and I have to admit, watching the coverage Friday, it was fun. I mean, he wanted to be there, it seemed. They wanted him there. He's making eagles. Ron, it was 2003 all over again.
One of the things never, ever, ever to sell Tiger short on is he loves golf. He really, truly loves golf. Like, I always thought a difference between Annika Sorenstam and Tiger Woods is that Tiger really, really loves golf, and you get the feeling that he'd play any place, anytime, anywhere, just because he loves playing golf. And I always thought Annika played not so much for the love of golf, but she played because she wanted to beat your brains out. She was the most intense competitor I ever saw that way. The fans buy into Tiger because at this point you don't know. I mean, we all would like to see it to be the year 2000 or 2004 again. We'd all would love to see that. That was golf played at its, from March to September in 2000, Tiger Woods played golf on a level that we've rarely, if ever, seen before. And we'd all like to see that again. The sad truth is no 40-year-old athlete ever becomes 24 years old again. Just doesn't happen.
Let's get to the important stuff. Will the Pirates catch the Cardinals and hold off the Cubs?
They're definitely going to hold off the Cubs.
Okay.
Three teams in that division will be in the postseason. I'm more optimistic right now that Pittsburgh can catch the Cardinals than I was a month ago. I mean, the Cardinals still don't lose. They're just unbelievable. But Pittsburgh's been playing very, very well, and they made a couple of pickups around the trade deadline that have helped them enormously.
He is Ron Cyrak, senior writer at Golf Digest and Pittsburgh Pirate aficionado. Ron, as always, thanks for taking the time to do this.
John, my pleasure. Anytime for you, bud.